Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
The Opinion Line on Cork's 96 FM.
Let me go to Freya. Because you've had an interesting time, Freya, to say the least. First of all, how is Arabella? Good morning.
How are you? Yeah, she's doing well now. She had a cough the last 2 days, but otherwise we're just building weight up for her next surgery.
Great. And how is she? How old is she now? Yeah.
She's 5 months, but technically 3 months old.
Yeah.
If we're going by her actual due date.
Yeah. So she was born seriously premature. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so I had complications by pregnancy when I was 17 weeks. When I was 17 weeks and 4 days, I had really bad abdominal pains, and I went to my doctor, and they just weren't like easing up. They were just like period pains. They were really bad. I was bent over in pain, so he sent me on to A&E, and I was in there 4:30, and I was seen at 11:30, and the doctor noticed that my amniotic fluid was very low, He offered to a bed. Well, I only live in Mayfield, so I said I'll come back in the morning. And I had a scan that morning. And it turns out there's a thing called PPROM. So you go into preterm labour, it's called, but without actually going into labour, you just lose your waters.
Oh.
Which, it comes with a lot of, it only happens to 2% of pregnancies before 34 weeks. So it's very, very rare. And in most cases, there's no reason as to why it happens, if you've no preconditions or whichever.
Yeah.
So in my case, they didn't know why it happened because, I was perfectly healthy otherwise, you know?
Yeah, but you were nowhere near ready to go at that stage,
Nowhere near, no. Yeah. So they set up a plan for me straight away in fetal assessment, CUMH, and I was, they put me on antibiotics for 10 days straight away, and then they set up a plan, so every Monday and Thursday to go in and get a scan done. So it was a growth scan and to measure the fluid inside my womb. And then I had to get blood, urine and swab tests, and then my blood pressure and my temperature taken as well, because I was at high risk of infection, especially sepsis and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because the amniotic fluid prevents infection, it protects the baby, protects the mother, but yeah. I only had 3 centimeters at the time.
You must have been scared stiff, were you?
Yeah, it was my first pregnancy ever. I never had a miscarriage or anything before this. So it was a big shock, to have this happen. And I was only 24 as well. I'm only 25. So it was mad,
So they managed to stabilise you, I think, at that stage. What happened after that then?
So I was in and out for about 10 weeks. And I was referred to fetal abnormalities by Dr. Dan McKenna. And I saw him at 19 weeks, and he basically gave me a 1% chance of survival.
Wow.
Yeah. And over the waters, it was hard. Well,
sorry, Freya, 1% for you or 1% for baby?
Baby, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So because of the waters, it was very hard to see how she was developing, what her weight was, her length. To see if her sometimes a PPROM can happen if their bladder and kidneys aren't working, but hers seemed to be working, but there's never a definite answer.
Yeah.
Around 17 weeks is when their lung development starts happening as well, and they weren't sure how developed her lungs would be if she was born early and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So this went on for about 10 weeks, and the percentages kept going up and up, which is good. And then when I was 27 weeks, I had that morning, I had watery red discharge. So I went in for my regular scan, and they said everything looks fine on the scan. And then I went home. That was grand. I was lying in bed then at 6:30 that evening, and I just started pumping blood out of nowhere.
Ooh, right.
Yeah. So I was brought to A&E straight away. Like, in a matter of seconds, I soaked through a pad, my underwear, pants, and onto my mattress straight away.
That's scary.
Yeah. So I was brought to A&E straight away. They took me in, and it took them a while to find her heart rate. So I was brought down to high intensity, and sorry.
It's okay. It's okay, Freya.
Yeah. I was prepared for an emergency C-section.
Yeah.
And she was only like estimating like 750 grams at that stage. So she was very small.
Yes. You must have been terrified, apart from being.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the bleeding was just continuing, and they brought me down to high intensity anyway. And like, there's so much happening. I got like two IVs in at a time. You get a thing called magnesium sulfate to prevent brain bleeds, and you get shots as well at 24 weeks to see it, just to help with lung development. And I had a Harmony test as well to see if it was Down syndrome, Edwards syndrome. They all came back clear, so that was good. And then everything kind of started settling down. So I was in high intensity for about 4 days, and I was moved to a ward then.
Yeah.
So that was okay for a few weeks. I was like, it turns out my placenta was rupturing, but like, they couldn't really see it in the scans. Like, they don't know how bad it was or how well it was doing or anything. But she was growing, like, it was fine. She was doing well for a while, and it was bleeding.
She's a tough little lady, isn't she?
Yeah, she's very tough. Her heart rate was always brilliant and everything.
Yeah.
And like, usually preprom babies don't move that much either. And she was constantly moving, like, and kicking and everything. Yeah.
So she was born in June then, wasn't she?
Yeah. So on the 18th, I had an iron transfusion on the 17th of June. And then the 18th of June, I had my whooping cough vaccine, and I had an allergic reaction to that. So I had like antibiotics for a few days. On the 21st of June, then I started showing signs of infection. So I had to wear maternity pads constantly over the blood. So every 4 hours, I changed one. And the nurses.
You were still bleeding, were you?
Yeah, every day for those 4 weeks. The nurses used to check like my pads to see the blood loss and, you know, monitor it. Then if I had any major blood loss or anything, I'd have to be put on the CTG for a while to monitor her heart rate and stuff like that. So on 31 weeks then, I started showing signs of infection. And on the Wednesday, my doctors came in and he was like, we'll send you down for a scan, but everything looked okay. So I was like, okay, that's fine. That's reassuring, like. But I was on the CTG then at 9 o'clock, which monitors my heart rate and the baby's heart rate. And her heart rate was always around 130 to 160, and it dropped down to 80.
Yeah.
So she was in states of distress. So I was brought down for emergency C-section again. And she was born at 25 to 11 then that night.
Right, so the drop, I mean, at that stage, she was 31 days.
31 plus 3, yeah.
So you were, I mean, you had what? How many weeks had you left to go?
You've about 9 weeks left.
Nine weeks left at that stage, yeah. So she was about 9 weeks. I mean, they did a massive job to keep her there and keep her growing.
Oh, they were brilliant. Like, I mean, I didn't have private health insurance, but I was literally treated as if I did, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I joined a few Facebook groups to do a PROM, and like, unless you're off liability, which is 24 weeks, the doctors and hospitals don't really do much for people in other countries, whereas I was seen straight away, you know?
I know. Yeah. Well, in fairness to CUMH, we hear a lot about it. You're in a great place in terms of having the experts there to do it.
So, yeah, definitely.
So she was born then in June, and unfortunately she had a heart defect.
Yeah, so the paediatrician doctor came up to me at like 2:30 and he said, there's something wrong with her heart, and we're consulting Crumlin in the morning. Now, I didn't think anything of it because he didn't say whether it was bad or not, you know. So I was recovering from the C-section, and I went down at 12 o'clock that day. And I just met her. She was intubated, so she had like a breathing tube in her mouth. And she was on morphine and a few other things just to kind of keep her stable.
Sure.
And there's a drug as well called
What weight was she when she was born for you?
Oh, she was 2 pounds 15.
Oh, she was tiny, little sugar bag.
Tiny, yeah.
So I'm talking to Freya, whose daughter Arabella was born in June, a pea prom baby. So it was a pure miracle. I've never heard of pea prom before, and Freya's been telling me about it, but it's a pure miracle that she actually got to be born. Afterwards, she ended up having to go to Crumlin. So the story has a lot more chapters in it, Freya, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely. So she was born the Wednesday, and then the Thursday morning I went down to the NICU to see her after I recovered from the C-section. And I was only about 10 minutes into actually meeting her and looking at her and seeing how she is. And the doctor came up and said to me, "Did you hear what happened?" And I said, "Oh no." And she basically told me that either she has one condition where there's no medical interventions can be provided, no surgeries, nothing can be provided, and I'd have to let her go. Or she has another one, which she was diagnosed with eventually, which requires multiple high-risk surgeries.
So they didn't know at that point which one it was, no?
No, like Dara Finn now, he's brilliant. He's a doctor in CUMH. He's a cardiac pediatric doctor is what he is. And he, like, the technology in CUMH wouldn't be as high-tech as all the heart ultrasounds and stuff up in Crumlin. So they only knew whether it would be this condition, like it was truncus or a double outlet right ventricle. So they didn't know which one it was until Crumlin did further examinations, the CT scans up there.
Right. So the doctor was telling you it was one of two things. One, they could do absolutely nothing about, and the other was a very complex set of surgeries, and only Crumlin could tell you which it would be. How did you feel?
Basically, yeah.
How did you feel?
It wasn't great. Like, obviously, I immediately broke down crying. like, in times of COVID and everything, like, the nurses came over and hugged me and everything. They rang my mom straight away and she came in. And then, sorry.
It's okay.
They were contacting Crumlin as well, and Crumlin were sending down a critical care team. So to look after, like, really sick babies, to bring them up rather than just a normal ambulance, you know. But, like, it was just heartbreaking, really.
And how long did it take for them to tell which one it was?
So she was brought up to Crumlin that night. On Friday then, a doctor called Terry Prendible up in Crumlin, he's on Arabella's team. He rang me and was like, "I'm fairly sure it's a double outlet right ventricle." So it's called double outlet right ventricle with VSD and pulmonary atresia, what she was originally diagnosed with. Because if she was a full-term baby, she probably would have had her corrective surgery and everything by now, especially because she'd be bigger. But it's the fact that the prematurity has kind of held her back so much.
Sure. So this was the one they could fix, but the fix was really, really tough.
Yeah, because her heart was so small. Like,
when did she have her first operation?
I went off on the Saturday. She was diagnosed on the Monday, but Crumlin don't look after babies under 2 kg. So she was moved to the Coombe to fatten up, basically. And to the Coombe Hospital, yeah. So she was gaining weight. She was doing brilliant. She went off oxygen and everything for a few weeks. And then there's a drug called Prostin that keeps the PDA open, which is what we all have when we're in the womb to bring oxygen to the lungs. Arabella's heart doesn't do that. So they kept her PDA open. And usually when you're born, it kind of disintegrates and your heart just works away. But in her case, it couldn't do that. So they kept the PDA open with this drug. And the drug obviously has an expiration date. So she was kind of she was disimproving, I suppose, when she was about 3 or 4 weeks old. Our stats would be around 100% for oxygen, whereas her ones were 65 to 70%-ish.
Very low.
But she was... Yeah, the D stats then, what she was experiencing, were only going down to 10 or 20%. So she wasn't breathing, basically.
Right. But isn't it incredible what they can do just to keep
her amazing.
Ready for the operation?
Yeah.
She had her operation 5 weeks in, wasn't it?
Yeah, when she, on the 29th of July, she had her operation. She was like, they wanted her to wait until she was 2.5 kg, but she couldn't hold on anymore. So it was the 28th, she had to be revived twice. And then she went in on the 29th to get a stent into the PDA to keep it opened. But she's been thriving since, like, she really has. Like, since then, like, it took her a few days to recover now, obviously, because she was only 4 pounds when she got it done.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was very small. But she was brilliantly like we had amazing support up in Dublin as well when she was in the Coombe. Yeah.
Is she home yet?
Oh, she is, yeah. So she was brought down to CUMH on the 9th of August to their neonatal for a while. That was a bit rough as well because she was diagnosed with an eye condition called coloboma. Madeleine McCann has it in her eyes.
Yeah, the two different colours.
Yeah. And she was diagnosed with that, so they don't know how developed her eyesight will be. Okay. But coloboma and a hair condition can be linked to a syndrome called Chard syndrome, which is a 5-year life expectancy. And her genetics test didn't come back at this stage, so they're kind of thinking maybe she has that. But thankfully that came back clear and she's been home since the 16th of September.
That's
now.
Brilliant news. I know that you particularly, Freya, wanted, because it's on their page, we found your story, you wanted to talk about Blood Bike South because of how they helped.
Yeah, they were brilliant now because I went home on the weekend just for a bit of a break from the hospital in Dublin, just have a bit of support around me as well, I suppose, being my own environment. The Coombe Women's Hospital set up a place called Hugh's House, which helps families with sick babies. So it's free accommodation, basically, so you don't have to worry about paying for a B&B or, anything like that. And then I stayed up there, and when I came back down home then, I was pumping for Arabella, obviously, for the breast milk, because she could only be on that for a while. So I was doing that. And while I was down home, the blood bikers used to collect my milk, meet Dublin blood bikers up in Cashel, and then Dublin blood bikers used to bring it up to Arabella then.
Crikey. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, they're brilliant. Or even when I left the Coombe Hospital to go to Crumlin, I rented a pump off the Irish Neonatal Health Alliance, and my pump broke as well one night, and the owner, Mandy Daly, came from Waterford to Dublin literally at 8 o'clock at night on a Saturday.
I know Mandy. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Brilliant.
So all is going as well as it can be going now, is it?
Yeah, she got her stent dilated now to fit her size on the 18th of October. And due to, a stent kind of has an expiration date as well. So the plan is now, she usually heart babies, their heart is pumping so much, it's taking up so much energy and burning calories that they get tired very easily. So over the last few weeks, that was happening. And I was in Crumlin on the 4th of November, I think. Around then on a Tuesday, and I basically told them she's not feeding as well as what she used to. I updated CUH. I go to CUH every Thursday as well to Darfin and his team, and she got 540 mils a day of Invitrini Peptisorb, it's called, which is a high calorie formula for heart babies, and she was only getting 480, which is, it's bad for her, because she needs the full amount. So she got her NG tube back in 2 weeks ago, but she's doing brilliantly again since.
Good. You know, it's a long road ahead. Who's minding you, Freya?
Well, my mom is actually brilliant, in fairness. My mom, my dad now, they've been a great help. My dad actually lives up in Dublin, so me and him used to go for dinner all the time. My mom used to drop me up and down to Dublin when I was recovering from the C-section. She was there for the operations and everything. Fantastic. And then my family as well have been brilliant as well. My best friend Shane, him and his family raised money for my stay up in Dublin. Or my two best friends, Megan and Dylan, used to bring me places and stuff. Or same with my mom's friend, she brought me up to Dublin a few times. So it's been brilliant,
in fairness. It's going to be some first Christmas.
Yeah, I can't wait. Yeah.
Listen, it's been great to hear your story.
Thank you.
Our best to Arabella, and our best to you, and our best to Blood Bike South, who do wonderful work, and to the incredible people in CUMH and in Crumlin and in the Coombe who do such work for tiny, tiny, tiny babies. And their moms.
Oh, they're brilliant.
And their moms.
Yeah.
Freya, look after yourself.
Let's give a big thank you as well to my mom works at O'Driscoll's Bar in Douglas. Ah. And they, the customers, the staff, and the owner as well, raised money as well for me and Arabella while we were up in Dublin. And there's a customer in there as well who had an apartment up in Dublin as well and gave that to us in case we needed it. So big thanks to them as well.
Fantastic. Well, there's a Douglas connection, as well as not just your mom working in O'Driscoll. And I'm almost fairly sure I know who I have now. Which made it.
Yeah.
Well, there's another Douglas connection, because you know Mandy Daly, who helped you out.
Yeah.
Her mum is Betty Daly, who for years was the lollipop lady at the school in Douglas.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Small world, that's mad.
Tiny world, tiny world. Listen, Freya, look after yourself. Look after your gorgeous little girl. And thank you for being with me on The Opinion Line. Look after yourself.
Cork's 96 FM.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.